population.
Population.
Mavihi.
Innumerable.
Satrik Shataha.
Desiring to increase.
Na.
Never.
Atma.
Self.
Avasidati.
Will be bereaved.
That's a big word for all of you. Bereaved means like sorrowful. Okay.
Asmin.
In the matter of.
Tay.
Of you.
Varshiyan.
Always increasing.
Mat.
My.
Anugraha.
Causeless mercy.
Translation.
Since you have desired to increase the population innumerably and expand your varieties of service, you shall never be deprived in this matter, because my causeless mercy upon you will always increase for all time.
So, let's go on to the purport. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
If you're a devotee of the Lord, being cognizant of the facts of the particular time, object, and circumstances, always desires to expand the number of devotees of the Lord in various ways. Such expansions of transcendental service may appear to be material to the materialist, but factually they are expansions of the causeless mercy of the Lord towards the devotee. Plans for such activities may appear to be material activities, but they are different in potency, being engaged in the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of the Supreme. So, Nana karma vitane na praja bhavisa shikshitaha natma vasi tatyasmin stay varshi hanmadanu grahaha. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gunanjana Shalakya Chakshur and Meditam Gena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So it's interesting that Lord Brahma's service, which is actually being discussed here by the Lord, is to be what we call a Prajapati. It's very interesting. That means Lord of the Prajas. Praja means basically those who are born, which is interesting. It's actually interesting because that's Lord Brahma's name too. He's also called the Prajapati, as well as one of the Prajapatis. And of course, the original Prajapati is Krishna. Aham Bija Prajapitaha. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities. And how Krishna does that is quite interesting. Krishna glances to Aikshita at the material creation and implants the living entities within the womb of the material nature. That material nature is called Durga. And that glance of the Lord is called Shambhu. You understand? So in other words, Krishna's glance is Lord Shiva. Pretty interesting, isn't it? And then the material energy is Durga. And so Shiva consorts with Maya, but Krishna never touches Maya or the illusory energy. It's also another interesting point is that Krishna can do anything angani yasha sakalan driyadvitimanti. As described in the Brahma Samhita, Krishna has interchangeable senses. In other words, he can do anything with any one of his senses. He can see with his tongue. He can hear with his sense of with his touch, with his fingers. He can smell with his eyes. Pretty good, isn't it? Can any of you do that? I don't think so. So that's why when we say that we're offering the food to Krishna, he can actually eat it with his ears, he can eat it with his eyes, and sometimes he actually directly takes it, and there's nothing left on the altar after the offering. Just like that story of Raghunandana, who is the son of Mukunda, and he was left in charge of the deity worship for some time, a little boy. And what he did when he was offering to the deities, he kept insisting until Krishna actually got off of the altar and ate everything on the plate. So that happens sometimes. But generally, Krishna Krishna will leave something over for us, right? Otherwise, we'd be very hungry. If we went to the pots and they were empty. So Krishna eats with his eyes, he sees with his ears, I mean, all these things. And one illustration of that is the story of Lord Varaha, who picked up the earth planet with his tusks. Boar is a big pig, in case you didn't know. A wild pig. Do you have them here in Fiji? Your wild pigs?
You can find them in the interior.
In the interior. They have big tusks on them like that? I used to live in a place where I was meditating when there were many boars one time. And before I joined the movement, I thought I'd become a yogi. So I was meditating in the Caribbean on a deserted island. And I thought, this is very beautiful and everything like that. You're trying to enjoy nature. And then I was meditating, I heard, and there were all these boars and they were going to attack me, and I just stopped meditating. So I wasn't so determined. So that's what a boar is. I mean, quite a dangerous creature. So when Lord Boar, of course, Krishna's not a dangerous creature, but Krishna appears in all the varieties of species of life. So when he picked up the earth planet, he impregnated the earth planet just by the touch of his tusks. Ordinary boar can't do that. And then the earth gave birth to a very nice son. His name was Boma. And he was very nice in the beginning. Actually, Krishna made him a king, and he was very charitable, very wonderful, you know, just a very nice king. But then he had some bad association with Vena. Vena was the horrible king who used to kill his friends when he played with them. Nice guy. And then he became a demon, and basically Krishna had to kill his own son. Terrible, isn't it? Because his son had done so many horrible things, including kidnapping girls without any cause, any princesses, actually. He had kidnapped. So the point I'm making is Krishna can do anything with any of his senses. He's the original Prajapati. And Lord Brahma, he's also capable in many ways of creating living entities without having his wife. He has a wife, yes. His wife is actually called Saraswati, and she's also an expansion of the original Saraswati, who is Lord Vishnu's consort, Saraswati, the goddess of learning. And so, but he creates all sorts of living entities, you know, from his heart, even from his nostrils. Does anyone know who came from his nostrils? What? Varaha, yeah, that was Krishna came, but there was another living entity that came from his nostrils. Starts with a J. Jambavant. You know? Vikshiraj? Ramayan? You've all heard of the Ramayan here? No, you don't know about the Ramayan. Anyway, Jambavant, he came, so, and there was living entities from his heart, the sages from his mind, you know, mature contemplation, so, you know, what a Prajapati. And so this is what he's planning to do as he is getting the blessings from Krishna here, to increase the population, or to actually not only increase, just to start the population in the universe. I mean, there's nobody here yet in this particular point. There's nobody in the universe. And Lord Brahma has as his service to fill the universe. So he needs to be empowered by Krishna. Of course, later on we'll read how he even performs more austerities to become empowered. This is another important point, that if we want to be empowered by Krishna, of course not to be Prajapatis, although that may be your service, not my service, but empowered to preach Krishna Shakti, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kali Kalera Dhamma Krishna Dhamma Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vanane Nahe Tadivarvartana, that if one wants to be empowered, then one has to get that empowerment from the Lord by performing austerities. And of course, not the same austerities we're going to read about Lord Brahma performing for 1,000 years and just sitting in meditation, but our primary austerity is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. In other words, preaching Krishna consciousness. That was the point I was mentioning last night, that everybody has as their duty, particularly those who come from Indian extraction, they have the duty to preach Krishna consciousness to everybody, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that's our austerity. And when you do that austerity, and of course our austerity is also following the four regular principles, that goes without saying, and chanting all rounds and having good sadhana, then you become empowered to do something that's amazing. Like you see what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada followed the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And even though he had no, let's say, material facility, he had no money, no material facility, he was able to do amazing things in 11 years. Came to America like 65, and really preaching didn't start till 66. And then in 77 he left this world. And there were 108 temples. Come on, 11 years opening up 108 temples and having 5,000 disciples. The holy name heard all over the world, fulfilling Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's prediction, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prediction, all 11 years. Whereas Prabhupada's godbrothers couldn't do it in 50 years or 60 years. Couldn't even work with each other. What to speak of propagating Krishna? Because he took the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul, which, of course, we know Prabhupada explains that the word or the order of the spiritual master has within it the success potency of the Lord. Like Prabhupada explains to devotees sometimes that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Prabhupada asked the devotees, publish 17 books, 2 months. And the devotees said, impossible, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. That if you're actually disciples, you should do this. You know, he actually made them surrender. He challenged their discipleship. You understand? And similarly, we saw this many times with Tamal Krishnamars, right? He challenged their discipleship. I remember there was one devotee, you know, Nityananda, who he wanted to go to the United States. And Nityananda wanted to stay here in Fiji. And he said to Nityananda, if you don't go, you're not my disciple. Pretty heavy. And anyway, and then there's a story I told the other day here about Nandakishore. When Nandakishore took initiation, he went to Srila Tamal Krishnamars with his guru dakshin, little envelope or something. He said, here. And Srila Tamal Krishnamars said, I don't want that. I want you. That's the guru dakshin I want. And then he was thinking, oh, what about my family? My family owns me. We think so many people own us. Doesn't have a right of possession over us. And so he went to India. Of course, there's a whole story of how later on he was really asked to surrender, and then at a particular point he had trouble surrendering. So then he lost his passport, his ticket, and got sick. You know, all sorts of things happened. Interesting pastime. You can ask Nandakishore if you're ever interested in the pastime. How about surrender? So that's how one gets empowered. And then one can do miracles. Amazing things, like Srila Prabhupada did, if one is actually surrendered, because you're connected. It's like being connected to the powerhouse. Then even if you're just a little PowerPoint, you can have all the power of the powerhouse behind you. And if you're not connected, you may look the same, but you'll be useless. Right? Like if there's no electricity, we can look at the PowerPoint, and it won't do any good to put something in it. But if there's electricity, then there's great potency there. Great, great potency. So that's the point, to get empowered. So here Lord Brahma is asking for empowerment. And as a Prajapati, he's asking for something that's usually devotees don't ask for, you know, to have many children. So sometimes people criticize, as Prabhupada mentions right here in the purport. Such expansions of transcendental service, Prabhupada says, may appear to be material to the materialist. Right in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says that. But actually, any service given by the Lord, whether it's, you know, having Krishna conscious children or preaching Krishna consciousness, is fully spiritual. Is fully spiritual, and one will be empowered by the Lord. Now there's many Prajapatis other than Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma gives birth to other Prajapatis. I mean, there's Daksha, there's Kardama Muni, there's Kashyapa. And the interesting thing is, if any of those Prajapatis forget about their constitutional nature as servants of the Lord, then they can fall into Maya. It's not that if you're just once given a service that you're all right. You have to be very alert. Like Prabhupada said, devotional service is like a razor's edge. Not the new razors that you have nowadays. But when I was young, razors were like a big blade about this long. Anyone remember those? No. You remember that. If you wanted to shave yourself, you had this big blade, and if you made a mistake, you lose your ear. It wasn't you go to the, you get these little safety disposable razors. They have those here. You know, disposable. Oh, and the worst that happens, you know, you cut yourself a little bit. But in the old days, you can cut your whole head off. Yeah, they were sharp enough to do that. I remember going to a barber. You have barbers here? Yeah. And he would go like this. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Okay. I go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Get ready.
Get ready to die, you know. So I don't go to barbers nowadays. I don't need one. So Prabhupada said devotional service is like that. It's a razor's edge. In other words, if you forget your sadhana, if you neglect your sadhana, even though you may be engaged in authorized service, you can deviate. And also, another point is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that when you perform service, you get profit, adoration, distinction from other people. Other people start praising you, like last night. And then as a result of that, you can deviate, because you begin to think, I'm the doer. Hankara vimudatma kartaham niti manyate. Isn't it? As Bhagavad Gita says, I'm the doer. Kartaham niti manyate. So, this happens, and we see this in the case of other Prajapatis. Other Prajapatis, like Daksha. I mean, Daksha was appointed by Lord Brahma to increase the progeny. So what he did had many problems, actually, not just one. Because he was so proud, then at one point he offended Lord Shiva. And as a result of that offense, his own daughter committed suicide, and as a result of that, he had his head cut off by this demon Virabhadra. I think Virabhadra was, yeah, the demon's name. Demon created by Lord Shiva. He was put into a guillotine, that's the French for something that cuts off the heads of someone. And so he had his head cut off, and he had to take a goat's head. They had a head transplant. You understand? So he could do a sacrifice. So here he was doing a sacrifice with a goat's head on him. Can you imagine? You walk into the ceremony, the havan going on, yagya going on, and there's a guy with a goat head doing swah, swah. Little beard, you know. Goats have beards. They look like members of a different religion, we won't mention. So anyway, or like Bollywood stars. Yeah? Is it? I won't mention his name. Anyway, it's a little humorous. So Daksha actually got in trouble. And another time he got in trouble is that when Narada Muni started preaching to his sons, you know, he's such a good Prajapati, he had 10,000 sons at one time. Those are called the Hariyashvas. And Narada Muni convinced him to take sannyas. Then he had another group, Savalasvas, 1,000 more sons, they took sannyas. And then he got so angry with Narada Muni that he cursed Narada Muni and committed an offense against Narada Muni. So you see, like Prabhupada says, there's danger even on the royal road. Like if you're given a license for sense gratification, it's not that you can forget about your constitutional nature in relationship with Krishna. Just like if you're given a license to drive a car, it's not that you can drive at any speed. Maybe in India you can. Maybe here too, right? If you're the divisional director, medical director. Right? The police stop you and you say, I'm Rasa Bihari. And they say, please accept my humble obeisance. But for an ordinary living entity like us, then he doesn't have such a high position. Yeah, if you have a high position, you get away with anything, like a PM or something like that, right? If you're an ordinary living entity, you have a license to drive, but you can also lose your license. At least in Australia, it's like that. If you drive too fast, or if you do some problem, if you commit some crime. So you may have a license. Let's say in your service, you're given a license. I mean, let's say my service of being a guru, I'm given a license to accept people's praise. That's my license. I have a praise license. You are allowed to hear praise, to hear praise of yourself. That's all. So, but if I overstep the terms of that license, then like that. So it's very important. It's a razor's edge. So that happened with Daksha. And even with Kashyapa, he made some mistakes too. Kashyapa was a Prajapati and a very great devotee, of course. We're not criticizing him. But he, with one of his wives, he became materially attracted. Didn't he? And as a result, the demons were born. You know, she allured him at the wrong time, place, circumstance. And she had two beautiful young demon sons. What were their names? Aranyaksha and Aranyakashipu, right? So even on the royal road, you know, you have a license to do something. You have to be very careful. That means we have to have good sadhana, cultivate humility, and all that. And so we have to be very, very careful about these things. Also, another point, looking at it from a different angle, we should be very cautious in criticizing devotees, because sometimes we may think a devotee has overstepped the terms of his license and is engaged in sense gratification. I'll mention one story from the Chaitanya Bhagavat that I heard this morning. This is the story of Pundarika Vidyaniti. Pundarika Vidyaniti was a pure devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was actually the incarnation of the father of Srimati Radharani. He's Vrishabhanu. And he incarnated in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So what happened is that the devotee of Lord Chaitanya named Mukunda brought another devotee named Gadadhar Pandit, Goswami, to see Pundarika Vidyaniti. He said, here's a great devotee. But when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami saw Pundarika Vidyaniti, he criticized in his mind. Because he saw Pundarika Vidyaniti was sitting on an opulent silk bedstead, surrounded by jewels and pots and chewing pan. People chew pan here? No? Not really in Fiji. It's in India they do. They chew and their teeth get real red and then they have these spittoons. You seen that? In India, anyone who's been to India has seen that. You have that in Kerala too? No, Kerala's pure. They don't have that. Not so much. North India mainly.
Maharashtra.
Maharashtra, UP. And Bengal, Orissa too, Gujarat too. Okay, but South India they don't do that pond. It's actually a Muchi thing. Anyway, so he saw Pundarika Vidyaniti doing that, and his hair was covered with scented oil. Can you imagine if I say, "Oh, I want to introduce you to a great devotee." Dhamraj, for example, great devotee, and he comes, his hair is sandalwood oil, and he's sitting there, and he has his wife and three other ladies fanning him, and everything like that. You'll think, oh my God, this is a materialist. So, Gadadhar Pandit actually thought that. He said, you're supposed to be such a great devotee. I mean, come on. And so, Mukunda understood Gadadhar's doubts in Pundarika Vidyaniti, so Mukunda began to chant a verse from the Bhagavatam about the Lord's mercy. And when he began to chant, especially about the Lord's mercy in regard to Putana, you all know Putana? She's the witch who tried to kill Krishna. And so Krishna accepted her as his mother eventually. She went back to the spiritual world. So he began to chant that verse, and what happened is that Pundarika Vidyaniti went into so much ecstasy, it's called Vyabhachari Bhava. It's one of the symptoms of ecstasy, it's 33 Vyabhachari Bhavas, that he kicked his bed apart, ripped all the sheets, his hair was in disarray, and he's foaming at the mouth, and he fainted, and it was for several hours, and Gadadhar Pandit understood, wow, I've made a big mistake, because I was looking externally at this devotee, and thinking and judging a devotee. Sometimes we do that. We want to judge devotees externally and criticize unnecessarily. Just like I've seen, even here in Fiji, there's one devotee distributing magazines about that. Right? He's like our modern-day Ramchandra Puri. You know who Ramchandra Puri is? He's a disciple of Lord Chaitanya. He's a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. And he went around criticizing Vaishnavas. His whole business was to find fault in Vaishnavas. He would feed Vaishnavas a lot of prasadam, insist they would eat more and more and more, say, no, you can't stop, more, 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 more. And then when they ate a lot, he said, look, I've heard that you Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord Chaitanya, you're all eating too much. You're all fallen. And he would find ants walking in the floor of Lord Chaitanya's house where Lord Chaitanya was staying. And he would say, this sannyasi eats sweets. I can tell because there's ants here. And then he would say, Lord Chaitanya eats too much. And Lord Chaitanya reduces eating to half of what he normally ate because of this criticism. So in this way, his whole business was to find fault in Vaishnavas. In the same way we have, you know, surrounding our ISKCON, some Ramchandra Puris too. What can I say? I mean, you can read about them in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm not just making up this story. That their whole business is, of course, Ramchandra Puri at least didn't have the internet. If he had the internet, he would have been much more dangerous. Would have been a disaster, you know. Fortunately, you know, he just, wherever he was, that's where he was, and everybody had to adjust their behavior. And then he went somewhere else, and everyone breathed a sigh of relief. He's gone now. Thank God. So, but some of these modern-day Ramchandra Puris, they have the internet and publishing facility and everything like that, and then their whole life is dedicated to a negative. It's interesting. Some people's lives are just dedicated to negativity. I mean, there's even religious movements that are dedicated to negativity. There's one I'm not going to mention. Here in Fiji, big religious movement, they're dedicated to the negativity that we only accept the four Vedas, we don't accept the Itihasas or Puranas, right? Even though it says in the Chandogya Upanishad, Itihasa Purananam Panchama Veda Uchite, that the Vedas do accept, as the fifth Veda, the histories and the Puranas. And Chandogya Upanishad is contained within the Samaveda. Anyway, little Vedic information for you. You probably know all this. Rasmi Hari knows all this. He's like the Vedas personified the Shrutis. Everything's based on negativity, what you're not. So we as devotees should not define ourselves by what we're not. We should define ourselves by what we are. Because you can't do a don't. And you don't define it's not good to define anything by what it's not. What are you, Hare Krishnas? We're not the body. That's alright, but that's not what we are. We are spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. That's a positive. So don't get so much into the negative. Because you get into the negative, you just get bitter. Like this Ramchandra Puri, he was just bitter. So we have so many Ramchandra Puris surrounding our society. And you just have to be able to identify them. And when you meet them, say, hey, Ramchandra Puri, nice to meet you. How do you do? And they'll say, no, my name is different. No, Ramchandra Puri. I read about you in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna. Nice to meet such a historical character. Anyway, getting back to the point. So when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami understood that this Pudrik Vrajini was a great devotee, he felt repentant that he had criticized him in his mind. And then he thought, the only way I can rectify myself is by taking initiation from him. So about 8 hours later, when this Pundarik Vijayaniti came out of trance. Gadadhar Pandit said, you know, I basically want to be your disciple, please forgive me. And then Pundarik, of course, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is the incarnation of Radharani. So, and Pundarik Vijayaniti is Prishabhana, Radharani's father. So this is an eternal relationship, obviously. So it's a pastime of the Lord. And then so Pundarik Vijayaniti said, oh, it's only after many, many lifetimes that I get a disciple like this. Which is true. So anyway, that's the opposite side of this whole understanding. We have to be careful about criticizing Vaishnavas because we don't know what's going on in their hearts. You know, they're very dear to Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Sarvo Riyam Maham, Sanhom Riyam Tuham, Maranyat Tena Janatin, Ham Tevyo Manakapi. That the devotees, Krishna says, are in my heart just like I am in their hearts. And because they don't know anyone else but me as them, as theirs, Krishna speaking, I do not know anyone else but them as mine. So we have to be very careful. Bandhanvi Savadhanamate, with all Vaishnavas. Very, very cautious in dealing with them. Anyway, and we should not criticize someone because they're doing a service that we cannot understand. In ISKCON, that happened before, that sometimes the sannyasis would criticize the householders. And then they would steal the brahmacharis from the temples, saying, why should you be in the temples with all the householders? We're the real devotees. Anyway, that's a whole other story we don't need to tell right now. So we should appreciate everyone else's service, down to the humblest pot washer in the temple. They're all very dear to Krishna. So Lord Brahma here has the service of creating progeny, and the reason for that is to fill the material world so that there'll be living entities who can rectify their consciousness and ultimately understand their true nature and ultimately go back to home, back to Godhead. So any questions or comments about any of these points? We've touched on a lot of points in class. Important points. Questions, comments?
You see the sannyasis or gurus from other organizations.
Yeah.
And they come to Fiji and they preach.
Yeah.
Sometimes we also criticize there.
Yeah. Well, we Prabhupada said you don't really want, if someone's preaching something bogus, you don't want to criticize them personally. You just ask, what do they say? And you can criticize the bogus philosophy and present the right philosophy. But we don't want to go around criticizing people. Prabhupada said, even if you criticize a bogus person and you use their name, he said it's like touching a skunk. You know what a skunk is? No. I'll have to explain. That's a creature. You probably know what a skunk is. They have skunks in India. It has a creature that defends itself by spraying perfume. But its perfume smells so bad. We have them where I come from. And if there's one like 2 kilometers away, you can smell it. It's an amazing creature. It's an amazing creature. And because different creatures have methods of defense. I mean, some of them have, like a porcupine has little spines on it. Some of them run away to defend themselves. But the skunk lifts its tail and it sprays this amazing smell at you that makes everybody run away. And you can't get it off your clothes. And it takes 2 weeks to get it off your body. Even if you bathe and scrub your body with laundry soap. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's that you have skunks like that in India? I haven't really seen skunks in India. But in America, they're really hellish. And one time one of them was living under my house. But I was very careful not to offend it. Because it could have sprayed me and then I wouldn't have been allowed in the temple for 2 weeks. That was a period of impurity, you know. So Prabhupada said, if you touch a skunk, you will smell, which is true. And he was using that metaphor, that if you criticize someone personally, I mean, sometimes it's absolutely necessary, but usually you ask, what is their philosophy? That's what Prabhupada would do. What is their philosophy? Prabhupada would be dealing with the philosophy. I mean, sometimes it's necessary if someone mentions a name that this person says he's God. Then at that point, you have to say, you know, does he have all the qualities of God? Is he all beautiful? Or is he all ugly? Is he all powerful? Or does he have some arthritis? Isn't it, you know, where does it mention that God gets arthritis or has to have a bypass surgery or something like that? God needs a new heart transplant. So, is he all knowledgeable? Does he know about everything? Is he in every atom? No. Is he completely renounced? No. So you go through all these six opulences of God. Is he all famous? No. So therefore, he's not God. Because he doesn't have the qualities. He may be a nice guy. He may have opened up a lot of nice hospitals. That's fine. We offer our respects to someone who does something nice in this world. Because he's displaying some of the opulences of God. However, even if there's a king or president or prime minister, we offer our respect because God is empowering that particular individual. But he's not God. So, in that point, we have to, if someone's name is mentioned, I mean, sometimes we have to get into that. But we don't want to get into name calling. We speak philosophy, and people can judge for themselves. People can judge it. We try to be positive. I mean, just to describe what we are by what we're not is not good. You know, like even Prabhupada said, we're not vegetarians. We're Krishnarians. In other words, you know, if you simply describe we're vegetarian, because vegetarian is like a negative definition, meaning we only eat vegetables, we do not eat meat. That's a negative. Of course, we do have some negatives, like the four regular principles. But really, the positive is that whatever we eat, we offer to Krishna. And that's it. That's the positive. And Krishna certainly does not go to McDonald's. There's no incarnation of Krishna ever seen at McDonald's, right? Or Murgi Wala. Right? Krishna milks the cows. He doesn't kill the cows. There's a bit of difference between milking the cows, isn't it? He's the friend of the cows. Govinda. He pleases the cows in a sense. So yeah, we can, a little bit, but mostly we should be positive. We should be positive. Not simply going around, you, Hare Krishna, so negative. You're all on Maya. You're all demons. You're all Rakshasas. You know, can you imagine going home to your family one day after you join the Hare Krishna movement? Unfortunately, I did that in the beginning. And saying to your mother, you're just a Rakshasa, mother. Don't you understand you're going to hell? The Yamadutas are going to do things. You're going to take a cow birth for every hair on the cow. You're going to be a fish in your next life, swimming in the ocean. You know, we got to be careful about this stuff. You know, people just say, these Hare Krishnas, I've had enough of them. I mean, that's really why it took me 2 more years to join the movement. The first temple I went into was in 1969. And they told me, basically, unless I joined right away, I was going to become very short, live underground, like Kali Yuga. And the world was going to come to, you know, so many crazy things. The Yamadutas were going to come and get me, so I just ran out of the temple when I heard all that negativity. And for 2 years, I avoided every devotee. If I saw a devotee walking down the street, I'd go to the opposite side of the street. Just to avoid them. And so, finally in 1971, you all know the story, I met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada convinced me, yes, join. Okay, Hare Krishna. But that was a positive with Prabhupada. Seeing Prabhupada was enough to convince me to join. I saw Prabhupada in his room. Prabhupada was glowing golden. He was dressed in the gumsha. I got a chance to have darshan without some other devotees. With Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was just wearing this gumsha at night, sitting on his bed. And it was glowing a golden color, and Prabhupada, you could see it, Prabhupada had descended from the spiritual world. So it was the positive that convinced me to join, not the negative. The negative kept me away for 2 more years. Otherwise, I would have joined in 1969. 2 years wasted in my life. Just being a yogi for 2 years. I was following the principles, but I was practicing yoga, you know, hatha yoga, putting your feet on your head, sitting in the forest for 4 hours, meditating on my navel. You know what navel is? The belly button. Looking at the flame, meditating on the flame, trying to figure out what was the sound of one hand clapping. You know, the Buddhists, they do that. Zen Buddhists. So it was. I was very eclectic. Eclectic means I was mixing all these different religious and spiritual disciplines into one brew, one soup. What's called a khichdi. I had a khichdi of spiritual activities. But then it took 2 years. So that's why we should be very positive. Prabhupada said, whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. Not immediately, of course, but any, you know, that's how we make devotees. Don't give it up. Don't take sannyas. Sani sata shruti gatam tanvam and obir, as Lord Brahma states. So any other questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, requests.